This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're here with Lynn, Julian and Sharitz. And the Prime Minister, Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, has said that the government has yet to decide on whether to impose a Bumiputera quota for the East Coast Rail Link project. So he was commenting on reports made by the Malaysian Bumiputera Contractors Association, who are pushing for a 20% quota for Bumi workers for the civil works on the ECRL. Now, in April, Malaysian participation in the civil works of the project was increased from 30 to 40%. So this proposal now would be essentially earmarking a fifth of that 40% for Bumiputera contractors.
And its Honorary Chairman Mukhtar Samad said that there are about 42,000 Bumiputera contractors who have expertise and skills to be involved in the project. According to him, without the special quota, Bumi contractors would find it difficult to compete or share with other local companies.
So to get some insights into this, we have on the line with us Dato' Jamaluddin Bin Non, Secretary General of the Malaysian Bumiputera Contractors Association. Thank you for joining us, Dato'. So why do Bumiputera contractors find it difficult to compete without the special quota?
Well, over the years, Bumi contractors were very dependent on government contracts. And, the system of the government contracts does not really go for open competition or even for level playing ground, because, there are factors involved in this getting a contract. Not necessarily the pricing, not necessarily the time, not necessarily experience, but involves other factors, for example, who you know and whatnot. And this is what makes over the years some of the Bumi contractors, which are highly dependent on government contracts, they follow the system of trying to get contracts, whether with the pricing difference or not. They just try; they will get the job in other ways, not necessarily being competitive.
And since Pakatan Harapan coming to power, how have the changes in mega infrastructure affected Bumiputera contractors in relation, for example, with HSR, Bandar Malaysia, and so on?
Well, the contracts for the big projects, the main contractor has been the same. Like, for example, ECRL is still with CCC, and with all other contracts, Bandar Malaysia and all, the main contractor is still the same. I haven't started yet. But overall, it's getting worse for the Bumi contractors, especially the big ones, G7 and whatnot, because we are still waiting for opportunities of trying to get into the contracts of this mega projects. And the requirements for getting into this project can be very difficult, especially the financial capacity, the technicalities, and not plus the experiences. We don't get that opportunity to get into the big jobs like the one they have now. So ever since PH comes in, there are good opportunities as well, but we have yet to see whether this can have a very good impact on the overall Bumi contractors, which are now really trying to survive over the next few years or few months, for that matter. We are not able to sustain. Maybe next year, if there is no more opportunity or no more projects for us, then maybe we will have to close down most of the contractors, and then we have to find other ways of doing business.
And why aren't the Bumi contractors getting the opportunities?
Contracting is also a business. To be a good contractor, you have to have all the backups for the business. For example, you have to have good materials, you have to have good manpower management, and you have to have money, financial support. And Bumiputera contractors, over the years, they don't look into these sort of factors involved, because material-wise, we'll be able to get competitive prices compared to other non-Bumi contractors. And then the banks are not even really into helping us out. And the culture of the business of contracts has not been practiced for years by the Bumi contracts, except in the government sector. But in the private, or even now, which is more on where the main con is all private contractors, the culture of going through this process is not ready yet for us. That's why we are not that ready yet to be able to compete in the open market. we need that special, we need that quota actually. It's not really special, but we need that quota to be able to start up or even to over-compete among ourselves so that we can be really competitive in the next few years.
But Dato, wouldn't implementing a quota system like the one that you've proposed ultimately still be bad for Bumi contractors, since it would essentially exacerbate the problem that you've highlighted, which is that Bumi contractors are not competitive? And if how would this benefit them? And if the government implements it, what's the gauge of when they can remove it?
I agree. But the previous quota system created was more or less abuse. It was not really a quota system for Bumi contractors in that per se. Because even you have a quota system, there are special Bumi and non-special Bumi, you know, that sort of level, whereby even the non-competitive Bumi gets the job, even they are not competitive anymore. What we want to have a good system of, even there are quota, whereby we can actually be more competitive in that sense. Those days when there was a quota system, everybody was trying to get into the quota system, and the system does not allow the competitiveness. It was more like who knows who and whatnot. So because of that, then the system quota is there, but it's not there. Don't produce the good competitive Bumitra contractors over the years. You just have those Bumi contractors. The government must realize that there's no way we can be on ourselves. We have been so long dependent on the system of trying to get jobs, right? And that the system itself more or less failed now. So now, if we can get together, have a convention and all those, then we really can think about a way of trying to really solve this problem. But then again, nobody is asking you to be a contractor. That's when we tell our members of Persatuan, we don't have to be a contractor. You can do other things as well if you don't want to compete. You cannot cook. You don't try to open up a restaurant. This is a very competitive and very tough business, being a contractor. And you must be resilient. You must be strong to compete in this business.
Thank you so much for joining us. That was Dato' Jamaluddin Bin Non, Secretary General of the Malaysian Bumiputra Contractors Association. And Dato' Jamaluddin was actually very candid, because he made the point that yes, it is a problem of competition and Bumi contractors as they stand currently, they are not competitive. But if you don't give them that quota, they will not survive. So where's the balance that has to be struck?
Yes, basically, I mean, this is really about asking for handouts, right? And with handouts, it's not in itself wrong, because every country has a kind of national agenda, whether it's giving handouts to new industries, minority groups, or strategic industries, right? It's not wrong. It's a question of whether this benefits the economy or not. But on a certain level, you have to ask if these projects are not done on open tender, whether this would be good for the economy. And if you look at it on another level, right, you separate the Bumiputra contractors and the Bumiputra consumers, for example. If the ECRL is too expensive, will the Bumiputra consumers be up in arms about inefficient costs coming out of the ECRL, right? Because they are many more than the Bumi contractors.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at what Dato' was saying earlier, now he was saying one of the things he highlighted was how the previous system was abused. And that's interesting, because it's not just about Bumiputra. It's also, there's a distinction between the Bumiputra and that was the attempt last time. And we've seen over the, you know, over the years when there are contractors that may not be, how would you say, they're probably not as capable as a lot of other Bumiputras out there, and they are getting those jobs. And this, and he is recognizing that there is an issue here where Bumiputra are being left out. Not left out, but they're so used to the crutch before, and now it seems like, you know, for them to take away the crutches entirely, I think there has to be some form of rehabilitation process.
I think ultimately you can't shock the system, right? So you can't just turn around and say, no more quotas. quotas, no more of this, because you will be, you will essentially be putting a nail in the coffin of a lot of these companies and contractors, for example, but companies even in the broader sense that have been reliant and dependent on government contracts for the entirety of their business lives. But ultimately, at the end of the day, perhaps we should work towards a system where we are not reliant on quotas for their business needs. Now, speaking of, I guess, seeming handouts, now Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad has also made an offer to state governments to write off their loans for rural water supply projects from 2001 onwards. Now, Putrajaya has the intention of writing off up to 3.8 billion ringgit of debts owed by the state governments.
Yeah, so the purpose of all this is to expedite the restructuring of the much-delayed national water service industry. They, you know, in the future, rural water supply projects, they would be financed by the allocation in the form of grant under the regulation of the Rural Development Ministry, and it will not be financed in the form of soft loan from the government. Some of the challenges that has been faced is that the debt incurred by the states between 2001 were used to finance rural projects. However, this repayment has been slow, as many states have been facing challenges in registering sufficient income.
All right, and we are actually coming up on the 8 o'clock news right now, after which we have the Breakfast Grill, where, Julian, you're going to be speaking to Wan Saiful Wan Jan, chairman of PTPTN. So that's going to be an interesting discussion coming up after the 8 o'clock news, so be sure to stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.